Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October sky.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And I guess we saw some March Madness over the weekend, and I think we're seeing some more March Madness now. And I think the biggest thing that I couldn't believe when I read it the first time, so I had to go back and read it again, is that they're going to release the jobs number on Friday this week, Good Friday, when the markets are closed. Now, I've seen a lot of strange things in my history, in my time on the trading floor and around the world, but I have yet to see something that I think that is this much of a joke. I mean, are they kidding me? They're going to release possibly the biggest report, maybe of the year, based on what's going on, into a market that will have no liquidity, that will be basically just trading electronically, and the equity markets will not be trading at all. Can you tell me what the hell they are thinking when they want to go ahead and release this kind of information into a market that is going to be illiquid? It just doesn't make a lot of sense in my eyes that this would be even a potential. I never even once thought about it. And then I heard it and I go, wait a second. They can't possibly be thinking about releasing this kind of data into a closed market. Now, either they believe that the number is going to be really good, so it'll pump up everybody for next week, or they're worried the number's going to be bad. Now, I don't, you know, if this number is bad, you can imagine what the pent-up energy will be coming in into a Monday after a long holiday weekend, and the fear and shrieks that you will see on the street. I don't understand it. I don't get it, but of course it's not my job to get it. It's only my job to report how ignorant that I think that it is that they would even think about releasing this kind of information. Overall, you know, I continue to listen to expert after expert come on and tell me how good the economy is growing and how great everything is for everybody. And I keep saying, yeah, really? Where is it? So I want you, my listeners, to tell me once again where all that great growth is coming from. Now, how long will we continue to say that bad news is good news? At what point does the manipulation of markets become not a good thing? You know, I find it hard to believe in a society such as ours that we can't get around manipulating the economy. I don't understand what happened to the free market, capitalistic society in which most of us were brought up in, that if you wanted to go out and take a chance, you could. If you wanted to go fall flat on your face by taking a shot in building your own business, being an entrepreneur. I mean, isn't that what we are about here in this country? About being entrepreneurs? Isn't this a place where you can come here with nothing and end up a billionaire? I mean, where is it that we continue to see the likes of ridiculous policies, ignorant actions by our government, and we're more concerned about talking about the guys, the presidents, throwing their hats in the ring for the next election and where they're going to spend over $1 billion of basically our money to get elected. Now, if you can tell me that this is what the original framers of the Constitution had in mind, well, then I'll buy it, I guess. I you know, all I see is more pent-up anger by the people that need the economy to be good themselves. We are a society that is driven by the middle class, by the spenders. And they are the middle class, the spenders. I am a spender. But when I don't have the money to spend, where am I going to spend it? How am I going to, where am I going to get it to spend? So the ramifications, the trickle-down effect, I guess that's not that trickle-down wealth effect that I heard about, but more or less it's the trickle-up poor effect, that I don't have money to go out and spend to buy luxury items. And you know, luxury items for the middle class, you know, go out and buy new clothes, go out and buy a new suit, go out and, you know, do something of that nature. Why? Because I don't have the excess cash. Because basically, if you adjust everything, we haven't had wage increases since 1979. What year is it now? Oh, it's 2015. So that would be only 36 years ago if you buy that. Okay. So my point here is we continue to ignore. We continue to pump up Mr. Potter. We continue to destroy Bailey Park for Pottersville. Now, I don't think that that is a great way to go. You know, I don't know what everybody else thinks out there, but to me, certainly, I can catch and see a lot of flaws. Now, I guess maybe I'm the only one who sees flaws in what we're seeing and what's going on here. You know, it just doesn't, mathematically, in my mind, probability-wise, it just doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense to watch companies line their pockets, take the investment opportunities away from the middle guys, from the guys who need it the most, and continue to liquidate down on their stock. I find it extremely challenging. I find it very irritating. I find it a spot in which, you know, where are we going to go from here, and how is it going to get better? And that's the explanation that I'm still waiting for, is where are we going and how are we going to get better? Because me personally, I don't see those opportunities out here of how we're going to get things back on track. I don't see a plan that I would call something that had good information and a solid foundation to say, yeah, we're going to get better from here, because this is exactly what we're seeing. So, you know, again, I ask the question, how good is this manipulated economy? How long can we continue to hold on to the shoestring that we are on? Because in my eyes, this is a shoestring economy built on nothing but a bunch of artificial filtration from our Federal Reserve. And basically, I think the problem we have here now is a lot of the middle class are losing hope. And we all know one thing: when you lose hope, you lose it all. And to me, that is a sad, sad, sad state of affairs, because hope is the one thing that always keeps us going. Hopes that we have the opportunity to fulfill the dreams, the plans, and everything else we've done. And to me, that makes absolutely no sense. So as I look at this broken down corporation, the United States of America, I go, Mr. Obama, Dr. Yellen, when are you going to actually really take care of the economy and really take care of business versus lining the pockets of the rich? This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. We have made some very, very nice changes, and we are really building to make this better, to give you a better flow of information, and to make our The Bubba Show the place for you to be to get your information. So this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with The Badger, Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show.
There's no one but you and me.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and back from retirement, actually just back from a couple of weeks off. My man, the Badger, he's back. And, of course, Badger, first of all, welcome back.
No, good. Good to be back on the show, Bubba.
You know, I think there's a lot of things going on. You know, we often talk about the finances and the economy and that, but there are a lot of things going on behind the scenes and a lot of nasty background stuff happening. And, you know, we all know the headlines and we're going to try to cover them all here. But I think it all really starts right at the top, right at the White House and in the politics that are going on in this country. What are you thinking? What are you seeing here?
Well, I mean, I'm seeing some terrible problems. It's after one of the things that I'm seeing is after a 65 year relationship is Israel being our key in the Middle East. Obama and Netanyahu have been at loggerheads now for years. Forget months. And it appears that the administration is about to take a turn here. They are not going to back Israel. Of course, they say they are going to back Israel, but it looks like that he's going to try to go and get a vote in the UN to support a two-nation plan. In other words, there's going to be a Palestinian nation, there's not going to be the PLO, there's going to be Israel, and they're going to try to get those two to live side and side. However, this is the first time that the U.S., since the United Nations was put into business, that the U.S. has taken any position to alienate people in Israel from us. And it's going to have some political backlash in this country, you can be sure.
And don't you think, I mean, now, you know, we've talked about this and we first talked about Obama, you know, and what he was doing and you know, not to bash him, although he deserves to be bashed a little bit, but, you know, not to be an Obama basher. But, you know, we talked about this before the Netanyahu disaster. And I think it was pretty much of a disaster as far as just a normal human being who would call up and congratulate somebody and say, nice. Even if you hate him, you know, in world politics, you call up and you say, hey, congratulations. Of course, it took Obama 4 days to do that. But, you know, we've talked about his alienation of people going back to that. He was trying to build the nonstop Democratic Party, you know, because he was trying to get more people into the company payroll, so to speak, and more entitlements to create everybody that just wanted to be Democratic. And I think this is just another sign of how antagonistic our president has become. You have any thought to that?
Well, I think he feels isolated now, for sure, since he's lost both houses in Congress. I think that he said time and again that you're going to find the last 2 years, whatever you guys want to do is going to get vetoed. So unless you can possibly come up with a way to overcome my veto, we're not going to let anything go through. I'm going to personally stop it. Now, you know, as the first example was the Keystone Pipeline, using the example that there needs to be more environmental studies. You know, why would you possibly say something like that? The environmental studies have been taking place for 6 years now, and he either has an opinion, in which I think that he should say, well, I just simply oppose it personally, and therefore I'm not going to allow it. Or he has to have some, he has to say something. To say that it's going to be more environmental issues is beyond belief. And you know, I just don't understand what he's doing now. He seems to have had his own agenda. Certainly he ran as a middle of the roader 8 years or now 7 years ago. And that, you know, he was going to have some leanings toward the left. He wanted to get away from the Bush administration, which he felt was too hawkish. But he's tried immediately, as soon as he took over, he started giving away money. And it reminds me of, you know, what happens in some of these other countries when suddenly the administration changes. Look what happened in Greece when the new administration came in. They did basically the same thing. But they weren't running on any sort of platform that said that they were going to be middle of the road. They were running on a far left communist platform. They made no bones about it. Initially, then they went at heads with Germany and the European bank because they decided not to pay stuff. I don't know what's going to happen with this. Certainly the world is leaning more left on everything, that's for sure. But when you look at the demographics of the world, most people are going to be democratic, right?
Absolutely.
It's not that hard. But on the other hand, can you continue to move in a direction that the country was never founded on or has been run on for 200 years? And that was that this is a country of opportunity. You're going to get your chance. If you take advantage of that chance, that you're going to succeed. If you don't, there'll be some sort of social network. But when you look at some of the stuff and you look at the numbers, it's amazing to me what you can actually do if you don't want to work.
Right. And I mean, and we do have 48% of Americans on some sort of entitled program. And of course, to me, that says that no matter what everybody says, the economy has not really improved all that much. Numbers never lie, only the people who report them do.
Yeah, that's right. And figures don't lie, only liars figure.
Right, okay. I've kind of put my own twist on it, but I think it's sad, you know, forget about everything else, but I think it's sad that we've now obviously built tremendous debt. We've gone from $9 trillion in a national deficit to $18 trillion now with our great leader the way he is. And I think it's sad that we are now alienating like Israel or not, I mean, more great technology, more stuff comes out of Israel per capita than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. This has nothing to do with religious belief. This is simply, let's look at it. You've got a democracy sitting in the midst of chaos. They're our biggest ally. Saudi Arabia is an ally, but Saudi Arabia is a different form of government. It's a monarchy. It's completely different. It's nothing like this. And Saudi Arabia has a tendency to gyrate back and forth. Right now, if you look at the Middle East with the unbelievable mess that place is, we need Saudi Arabia. I think it's interesting the way that the U.S. is dealing with Iran now. On one hand, Iran is the bad guy. On the other hand, we're actually a semi, although not speaking to them, we're a semi-ally in some of the other fights. That place is so crazy. I don't really know if anybody knows what's going on. It's just like the recent overthrow of the government in Yemen and how the Obama administration had tagged that as the way to defeat the terrorists. And now we look back on it and you find out there was a few holes in that theory. And that is just a terrible mess that's going on over there. And there's no way you can tell me the Obama administration has any idea what they're going to do since Haiti got blown out. And I don't know. I'm at a loss to figure out. I'm at a loss even to figure out who's fighting who sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, and I find it to be a major problem going forward. And it really, obviously, it becomes very scary because it seems to me that we've lost control of everything because it seems to me that the guy in charge seems to lean against any solution that would possibly take care of all these problems. I know you have some personal experience of knowing what was going on over there. And, yes. I think that we've really come to a spot where it's really become very scary with the entire situation. I'm not out to scare anybody and say, hey, but better watch out. But it is very concerning what is going on right now. Forget about which side you back right now, but just in general, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I don't know. It appears that our foreign policy has taken a different turn. And I don't know that foreign policy is in the right direction. I think that the foreign policy originally, or some of the things that George Bush did, the invasion of Iraq, which I'm going to say from day one, you know, as opposed to not because of the usual reason, just because I was afraid what was going to happen did happen. That was Iraq actually was a pretty stable place. Now I know it was run by a maniac. I know that there is no way that you can say this guy was, he was an effective leader. He was a brutal leader, but looking at all of what's happened since the Arab Spring, what's really changed over there? There's no democracy. It's just the old thugs got replaced by the new thugs.
It's gotten a lot worse, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this after the break, because you did say something, oh, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago, right here on air, that is playing out basically exactly as you said it would. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with the Badger, and the Badger and I want to make sure you check out our new news report, our new newsletter, the Bubba Report. Really unbelievable. I'd love you to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and check it out, and I'd be happy to have you take a look at it. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break.
You're so delicious. You're so soft. Sweet on the tip of my tongue. You taste like sunlight and strawberry bubble gum.
Trust. For nearly 4 decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with the Badger today. So, Badger, about 6 or 7 months ago, it might have been longer. You know, I obviously I'm old and senile, and I can't remember everything you said when you said it, but I know you said it, and your words were, look, Iraq, we should never go there. So you did say that even before we went. And then after they went there, you said, we're not going to win, which we couldn't. But you did say that, you know what, even as brutal as a thug or miserable, I mean, there's a lot of obviously verbs I could use or words I could use to describe Mr. Hussein, but it doesn't matter whatever I say. At the end of the day, as he seemed to have control of that region, as brutal as he was, as bad, whatever you want to call him, there was not anywhere near the troubles that are going on today when he was in control. And I think that was probably one of the things that we were short-sighted on. Is, you know what, and when he was in charge, we had just him to deal with and not the mess that's going on now. And I believe that's how you explained it to me, that at least with him, he had a rein on all these maniacs. What do you think?
Yeah, he did have a rein on all the maniacs. He was a horrible person, and he was terrible. We're finding out more and more that we cannot legislate our morals. We cannot take Western liberal democracy and go into these countries that have no concept of those personal freedoms and think that we can give them our ideas, not understanding their culture. I mean, how bad were we off on the Arab culture and the Muslim culture when we got involved in this, 11 years ago now, since 9/11, right? We went, invaded Iraq in March of 2003. So what am I talking about? 12 years ago. And I do have personal knowledge of this because, there's someone in our family that happens to be a fairly reasonable ranking officer in the armed forces and was in Iraq for 4-2 tours of duty and saw firsthand what was going on. And he said that's where I really got my first ideas when I was talking to him. You know, he just said to me, Bob, we don't understand what's going on there. And I remember for sure when we released all the, and I don't know that most people even remember this, when Brenner came over there and released the entire Iraqi army, he just cut them loose. 400,000 guys he put out in the street. Now, what kind of brain could you have to do something like that? You take these guys that are making their living in the military, and it doesn't matter that they were our enemy. It's the same as if after World War II, the U.S. would have gone and then just threw out all the troops in Germany and, Japan. Can you imagine having millions of those guys with no way to feed their kids?
Oh, yeah.
With no support systems whatsoever?
Oh, yeah. That would be another wise, you know, I would certainly say that the leadership overall has not been good because the decision-making process has been wrong. And again, we both agree that we should have never gone to Iraq, which was a George Bush decision.
Okay. Right.
So we're not blaming just the Democrats or just Obama. It shouldn't have happened, but once it happened, it's been, I think we've made it worse.
We let the genie out of the box. You know, we let the, we let, there were so many repressed people in Iraq. There were. They were completely oppressed. But the problem is, by going in and then turning loose all the soldiers who were able to regroup in gangs, basically, you know, it just absolutely defeated what we did. And the administration that went in there, it was absolutely terrible. So what do you end up with? You end up with this mess. And now that spills over. Iran doesn't want them there, right? Saudi Arabia is really concerned, completely concerned about what's happening in Yemen, because that's on their border. So that's the reason why they're backing what was the government, or now is the rebels. They're rebels against your rebels. It's sort of like, you know, two football teams, his'ins against us'ins. And except these guys aren't playing football. These people are absolutely brutal. They're brutal to their own people. They're brutal to everybody else. We got involved in these messes, and I don't think we'll ever figure a way to get out of this one. How are you going to solve this problem? Do you back one faction against the other? Who do you back in Syria now? The moderate rebels? Who are the moderate rebels? You know, the moderate rebels of today are tomorrow's thugs. It's just the mess that's going on over there is absolutely insane. Now we're backing the Iraqi government, which seems to be much more moderate and seems to have a more stable position, but they don't have the means to fight the ISIS, and they don't have the means to get them out. So now we've got to support them to get them out, and we are supporting their government. Iran is actually putting troops up now for the Iraqis against the ISIS. You've got to have a scorecard to know the people.
So what is your take about what's going on in Yemen right now? What are you seeing there? And I mean, obviously they're it's bombs away. You know, it was like the old day. I mean, they're just going crazy over there right now. What are you thinking? What are you seeing?
Well, I think here's what happened there. And this goes back, unfortunately, a few years ago. We were trying to figure out a way. We needed a strategy, right, that we could combat the problems after the Arab Spring. It became obvious in the year after the Arab Spring that the Arab Spring was just another group of thugs. The Muslim Brotherhood took over in Egypt, which we were eventually able to get out. I'm sure that was a lot of our influence. And the other terrorist groups took over in the other countries. You know, they all said the same thing. Well, we're just going to stay here long enough to get things under control, and then we're going to leave. Of course, that didn't happen. The Arab Spring turned into the Arab winter. So Obama was looking for a way I'm going to say U.S. politicians were looking for a way to perhaps find a solution to what we want to do here. And what they decided to do was Yemen was going to be a test ground. And they looked at it and they said, you know, if we can get a guy that can be a leader, that we think is a moderate, that we think could possibly put together democracy, we're going to go all in with them. And so there they chose a guy with the help of Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia said, this is the guy that can do it. And his name was Abdel Rabo Mansour Hadi, or Haiti. I don't know if I pronounce it right. And they put him in government. He took over, and then they backed him. They backed him against the opposition. But one of the things that they didn't count on was the fact that they weren't fighting one group. He was fighting a number of different factions. So the different factions split. They split everybody. They split the country over there. And finally, one of the factions became a head, and it was an offshoot of Al-Qaeda, and that was Houthis. Now, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, but all they are is they're a new gang of thugs, jihadist thugs, and they were eventually backed by Iran and the guy that this government threw out. So now Iran is in there, and they're backing these bad guys. They drove the other bad guys out, and then they took his government, drove it to the a small peninsula, a small city in the south of Yemen, and which he finally fled from. And that was it. Now it appears that Ali Abdul Jihala and he's taken over the country. This loss of Yemen is bad, because what's happened with this loss is we were using them as a base for a lot of our drone attacks where they were supervised from. So it's not a completely killer group to allow the terrorists to take over this nation. But now it's going to set up another power battle. And this time again, this time instead of Iran being our ally, Iran is now our enemy. So Saudi Arabia is backing us. And the people from Iran are against this. They're backing the other side of the trade. So how do you get this solved? Well, what the White House said is they're going to continue to look at Mr. Hadi as the leader of the country. And then they said that Samantha Power, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, is going to write a nasty letter in which she's going to tell the terrorists the U.N. backs negotiation only and wants no further military action. So you know how much this is going to count, right, when she writes the nasty letter to him?
Oh, yeah, just like it would work for me. Perfect.
Well, yeah, if you ever saw the Puppet movie, there was a scene in there, it was a joke, and in it, the guy from the UN goes to North Korea and said that he's going to write them nasty letters if they don't stop creating bombs. And, of course, he throws them in a shark tank. The point being very simple, that was just simply a parody. But this stuff with the UN, we're going to write them a nasty letter. They're telling us that they think that effective policy in dealing with the terrorist is a nasty letter.
And that's just... It's always wonderful to know that we've got such great people and leaders at the helm that believe that these people would even think of anything other than brute force. I mean, you know, I said this on Fox, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago when things were starting, you could see it was starting to turn and things were starting to even turn for the worse. And I said, you know, we need to be proactive in some way to go take care of business, because a nasty letter is not going to stop them. A stern warning is not going to stop them. These are not people that are of normal character, nor do they care. They have no regard for human life. So they are not going to be warned. The only way to take care of action like this is to, I guess, to quote the Bible, an eye for an eye or whatever. You have to actually, we have to go in after and get them, I think. And as much as I don't want that, I think that is the only real resolution. But we'll come back and after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about this. And obviously, this leads into other things that are going on. And of course, none of it very good at the moment. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am visiting and hanging out with my man, the Badger. Make sure you check out TheBubbaShow.org. We've made a lot of great changes and are in the midst of putting up a membership site for y'all. So make sure you check it out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
10 miles from town, and I just broke down, spitting out smoke on the side of the road. I'm out here alone, just trying to get home.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with the Badger. And Badger, so we're in Yemen now, and you know, we know how bad this is, and as you stated earlier, we don't know who's, you know, I guess it depends on which day, depending on who you're going to be behind. But in your eyes, you've been through not this conflict, but conflicts, and you've seen a lot of things happen in the history, and you're obviously a historian as well. How does this end? What do you see? What's your take of where we go from here?
Well, you know, the Muslim world has been at war with the West now for 1,000 years, right? In one way or another.
Right.
I mean, you just have to look at it. It's a war that started 1,000 years ago when they invaded Western Europe, and the Moors at the time came in, and it was the same sort of thing. Well, the Crusades ended that conflict. The Crusades, incidentally, were also brutal. The Crusaders were not the guys that you read about in school, and you hear these stories, you see movies about what the great guy the Crusaders were. The Crusaders were not good people. They came to pillage. They burnt down the cities. None of these guys are good. I'm just saying the Crusaders are always been viewed as the saviors of Europe. I don't think so, but we don't have time here to go into that. How does the war finally end? I wish I knew. The last time we had an evil in the world like this was the Nazis. And these guys are on a par. They just don't have as many people and as much power. But as far as brutality, non-inclusion, the Quran says if you're basically not a Muslim, then, you know, we have to get rid of you. We had the same problem. If you ever listen to Marine Corps, they call them leathernecks. You know why they call them leathernecks?
No, I don't.
Okay, because in the time of Jefferson, we were at war there, and it was what you've heard of the Barbary Coast pirates, right?
Of course.
Okay, they're just the same pirates that we have out there today, and here's the way they ran their business. They ran their business by bribery. So if you did not want to have your boats enslaved, your people, all your booty captured, and them slaughtered, you had to pay us a tribute. So most of the governments at that time paid them a tribute. And the reason, finally, Jefferson had enough of it. And he said, well, we're not going to pay you anymore. And that's the reason why we really have the U.S. Navy. Long story short, from the shores of Tripoli, you've heard of that too?
Of course.
Okay, well, that's where we went. And the Marines went in with the Navy because they were part of the Navy. And the reason they're called leathernecks is because they used to wear big leather straps around their necks so that when the guys tried to behead them, they had more trouble when they hit their leather. And that's a true story. That's a factual story. You can look that up. So we were in that war, and we finally settled that war when we came in, and we attacked them. We attacked them with the Marines and the Navy, and we were able to defeat them. And we were able to defeat them. It broke up their monopoly on crime, and it settled it. Our war with them was settled for, I don't know, probably 150 years. But the war against Europe, the war against Christianity, the war against the Jews has never stopped. It's just gone on. And unfortunately, I think you have two different philosophies here. And I've said this many times. You have a philosophy of death, which is, you know, if you're a martyr, that's the way to go, right? Because in the next world will be better than this one. And you have a philosophy of life in which the Western culture is, you want to live as long as you can and as healthy as you can. And eventually, if you have death, if you believe in a second coming, then you believe in it. If you don't, then you had your shot at life and that's it. But you don't want to constantly be thinking about being a martyr. How do you get that away? You tell me how you change that philosophy.
Well, I don't think you can change the philosophy, but you said something that was interesting, and I want your opinion on this. You mentioned that, you know, they're not as strong as Nazi Germany, but aren't they? If they, you know, isn't there a lot more of them now? And if they continue to have the conditions that they live in and the things that they do, wouldn't they grow quickly? And isn't there a lot more technology that they can actually now benefit from today? I mean, couldn't these be worse than them in the long run?
It's possible, but I still believe that by and large, most Muslims are reasonable people. They just want to live, provide, deal with their families. They don't necessarily take everything in the Quran to heart, but these radical guys, they come from total poverty. I mean, and let's face it, one of the biggest problems is poverty.
It's always poverty, no matter.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter where you go, trouble always comes out. Nothing good comes from poverty, right?
Right. Right. No, and nothing good. No, nothing good. It's unfortunate, but you know we talk about that all the time. Income inequality. I don't know. In some ways, I say, yeah, I'll agree with you. There's a lot more of them, but I don't believe that's necessarily the case. You have to look at numbers and how deceiving numbers are, right? When the Allies did the retaliatory bombing at the end of World War II on Germany and Japan, they used to whack 100,000 people at a time with the incendiary bombs. Think about that. They used to whack 100,000 people at a time during a bombing raid every night. Some of these bombing raids had nothing to do with anything other than the Allies had turned the same as the Nazis were earlier and decided just to blow up all the German people that backed Hitler. So, but the numbers there, I guess what I'm trying to say is my argument is the numbers there that are dying and the numbers here are, there's no correlation. There's nothing similar. In some of these attacks, you know, they'll slaughter 1,000 people, and I don't want to demean that as saying that doesn't mean anything. But are they going to be able to change the world around? They could if they get a hold of enough nuclear weapons. There's no question. There's no question in the world. If these guys get a hold of a nuke, it's going right to Tel Aviv. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. Netanyahu's bringing out the point that if you don't think that's going to happen, you're out of your mind. You're completely out of your mind. Is that what it's going to take for one of these people to start to nuke a city, a population, before something happens? Is it going to take another 9/11 attack? Where is it going to happen? It doesn't have to happen in the U.S. It can happen in any Western society. It can happen anywhere in the world. So my question is at what point do the Western societies get so fed up and they just cannot stand it one second longer that the West puts together a coalition and wipes out these jihadists, wipes out these real crazy people. I don't think all the people are crazy, but unfortunately, these guys run the show with a very small amount of people.
And don't you think now? So I said, and I believe, and I'll ask your opinion. I believe we should do that now. That's what I believe, because I think they can only get worse. And I think that if they do get a nuke, they will push the button without even thinking twice about it.
Oh, well, they're definitely going to push the button. They're not going to threaten.
So
they're just going to push the button. I mean, Netanyahu's telling us right now, and you can like Netanyahu, you can hate him, you can say he's a total right-wing crackpot. I don't think he is. I don't believe he is at all. And I know if these guys get a hold of something and they have launch capabilities, that they're going to let it fly. Because they don't care what's going to happen to them. They're going to get martyred, and they're going to get to go to heaven. So as a martyr, they're not going to care about Western society. And we can do it, but how is it going to be organized? Are you going to have the politicians run the show again? Is that what you want to do?
No. I mean, obviously I know we have a chain of command, and of course the ultimate leader is the ultimate leader in this particular case, I believe to be almost the ultimate enemy, because he doesn't want to do anything. I mean, again, you know, he does not even recognize, you've never heard him usher the words Muslim terrorists. And I think that's a problem. I mean, there's a lot of things about it, and we're not being critical of any one group, but we're talking about the thugs and the gangsters. That's what we were talking about today. And unfortunately, our leader in charge does not know how to lead, in my opinion. Again, I'm not going to say that I'm right, but in my opinion, he got no clue. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not even going to put that. I'm not even going to ask the badger, because I don't even have to comment, but that's my opinion. The guy in charge doesn't know how to run a business, a company, or a war, and I think that's tragic. But unfortunately, for today, we've run out of time. It's been great having the badger with us. In fact, I'm going to have him back tomorrow, because there's a lot more things that we need to discuss that you need to understand from the correct point of view. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. The Bubba Show will be back tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. It's late September and I really should be back at school. I know I keep you amused, but I feel I'm being used. Oh, Maggie, tried anymore. You led me away from home just to save you from being
alone. Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk Events.